Each one of us decides in our own heart if we will believe in God. You alone make the final choice as to where to place your faith. To leave these matters unattended in our hearts is similar to leaving a ship unanchored on the ocean and hope the wind never comes up. Or as Jesus himself used words, you can only hope there will never be a storm to come up against a house that has no foundation. We don't want to leave those foundation ideas to the last minute. Foundations of buildings and houses are at the beginning, over which the rest of the structure is placed. Are you that good in an emergency to come up with a foundation when you need it most? Take the time to answer questions about what you believe and what's really important to you. For us to do that at Daleville Christian Church, we offer an affirmation of our faith. And this one from the Gospel of John in the very first chapter. The first five verses, but including verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Gospel lesson for today, the reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel. In the 15th chapter, just verses 3 through 7, Jesus is speaking with some of the Pharisees, and there's a disagreement. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is rather devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of this holy word. When I continued my studies of the Bible in college, I learned that the rabbis of Jesus' day did have disagreements about how to fulfill the commandments to honor father and mother. The disagreements were usually over what to do if a person's father was not honorable. Growing up in Indiana in the mid-20th century, I didn't really personally know any fathers who were not honorable. At least I wasn't supposed to know any fathers who were not honorable. I probably should have guessed that the rabbis had discussions about this topic, but at the time I was pretty compartmentalized in my thinking. Fathers not deserving of honor, I assumed, was a modern problem, not an ancient one. In our Bible reading today, Jesus is having a different kind of argument, although it is over the very same commandment to honor father and mother. Jesus' discussion, and since today is Father's Day, has made me ask, what does it mean to honor one's father and mother? It certainly was one of my motivations in taking care of my parents while they were in decline. That was a motivation, as was the fact that I lived closest to them than any of my siblings. I've heard the same thing from other adult children with regard to elder care and the commandment to honor parents. I have since learned that I probably could have done less for my parents and still fulfilled the commandment to honor them. I've also read that for many children of aging parents, there is often the feeling that you cannot do too much for your parents when they are in need. Today in our country, it's estimated that there are 40.4 million unpaid caregivers of adults ages 65 and older in the U.S., and of that group, 9 in 10 are providing care for an aging relative. Almost half of those unpaid caregivers care for a parent or a grandparent. So despite the fact that you and I live 2,000 years after Jesus walked the earth, we can still have discussions about what it means to honor one's parents and how does a person do that. A part of this discussion is that in Jesus' day, there was no Father's Day or Mother's Day. The fact that we celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day certainly does not end our obligation to honor our parents. To care for our elderly parents is a legitimate response to the commandment to honor one's father and mother. Now, we could take up the whole question of our responsibility as Christians that we have toward the Ten Commandments. I'm going to leave it at the traditional response, which is this. The Ten Commandments contain elements of ceremonial law. Christians aren't required to follow these ceremonial laws, yet when obedient to the Holy Spirit, Christians manifest God's love and righteousness in harmony with the Ten Commandments' moral principles. See Romans chapter 13. So back to the question of the commandment to honor one's father and mother today, and with regard to elder parent care, it was understood to include this in Jesus' day, and it figures into Jesus' argument with some of the Pharisees. The only way that this question is a new question in the 21st century is the longevity of our parents. My mother lived longer than either of her parents, and my father lived to be older than his mother, who was 90 when she passed away. My father suffered a stroke at age 87, which he survived, but his ability to take care of himself did not survive that stroke. My father required nursing care for 5 years. Now, in my own childhood, I recall that my mother's mother came to live with us and remained fully participating in our family until she was hospitalized and then lived only a few weeks more. People are living longer nowadays, although they may not be living longer in good health. That means that caregiving may go on much longer. All this is to say that the arguments about honoring one's parent are as important today as they were in Jesus' day. Mind you, caring for one's elderly parents is not the only way to honor one's parents, and we'll look at some additional suggestions. I don't know if we need to go into detail of Jesus' disagreement with some of the Pharisees over particular interpretation of the commandment to honor one's parents. While some of the Pharisees believe that Jesus was ignoring one of the commandments, Jesus told the Pharisees that they were the ones ignoring the commandment, particularly the commandment to honor father and mother. Without getting into too many details, it was a common problem with Jesus and the Pharisees that they understood the claims the law made upon the faithful. Those claims often competed with each other. Jesus will tell the Pharisees, "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Although Christians will say that the Ten Commandments are important, we do not often discuss what they might mean for everyday life. This commandment to honor one's parents, how do you do that? How do you break that commandment? Or we should say, what are some of the ways that we easily break this commandment and should therefore consider and reconsider our own actions? One explanation given for the reason this commandment even existed is that in the ancient world, the elderly were not a lot of help to the family or tribe. Remember, the children of Abraham were a wandering, nomadic people. The elderly would be slower on the journey and the traveling. They would not be as much help setting up camp for the night. They might delay the group just as the group needs to find water. For pagan peoples, it might have been easy to leave the old folks behind. The commandment to honor the old people prevents such selfish ideas. Our God is big on the idea of people helping each other and taking some responsibility for one another. Honoring the old folks is not the only law. God wanted Israel to care for the stranger, the wanderer, the orphan, and the widow. So if not leaving the old folks behind is how the Lord gave us the commandment in the first place, it follows that we are being called to care for the elderly and the weak, just as we claimed in our opening sentences. Here's a modern question. But what if you're newly married and your parents are still self-sufficient and they start making demands on your spouse, either your time or your resources? What if both sets of parents insist that you spend your first married Christmas with them? Well, the parents are asking for more than being honored by staking a claim on the newlywed's time and decision-making as a couple. You double the dilemma if both sets of parents make the same demand for the same Christmas day. And yes, it happens. But what do you do? In a situation I raised earlier, some people leave the workforce in order to care for their parents' needs. Is that what's required to honor one's parents? Some people care for their parents and make themselves ill taking care of their parents. Is that honoring your parents? It certainly is dedication to their care, but are they honored by your chronic blood pressure problems or ulcers or physical pain? Can an adult child do less for their parent and still honor them more? One guideline I read made a lot of sense, although it doesn't answer all questions. The guideline is this: it honors your parents if you make them look good. See, if you can be attentive to them without making yourself sick, others will say, "What good parents those parents are." And what good parents those parents were. Just look at their son. Just look at their daughter. They did a good job. On the other hand, if an elderly parent decides they don't want to bother their children with caring for them, it isn't simple. The parent doesn't call their adult child. The condition of the house declines too much. A neighbor may put in a call to adult protective services. The parent's so-called regard for their child's time and resources then makes it appear that the adult child is neglectful of their needy parent. This is to say nothing of individual adults, children, or their parents who can and do make unreasonable demands on their family members. In those cases, negotiation may be the most honorable way to resolve competing demands, even though neither party gets what they want. A few other guidelines I read that honors one's parents are these. Make your marriage succeed. We have a saying that we all smile at, which says, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And I recently heard an addition to that: if grandma ain't happy, run. Now here's how I interpret that in popular saying: if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. One way to put this in perspective is that if the married couple maintain a good marriage, that good marriage is good for everyone: mama, dad, baby, and grandparents. If mama can be happy in the marriage, then everyone in the family will benefit. Here's another way to honor one's father and mother: gratitude, thanksgiving. Gratitude is also honoring. We are honored when our work as parents is appreciated, when our efforts are appreciated. It is honorable and it works both ways. What parent has not said in a moment of exasperation, "Just wait till you have children of your own"? I usually never said that to my children. I knew that I could not explain the issues to them and knew that they would never understand it until they found themselves in my situation, my dilemma. What I would say is this: I'm sorry, but your brain is not fully developed yet, so I have to make the decision. Sometimes I've told parents of teenagers, someday your child will be glad you made this decision. Now, it may be 15 years before they tell you that they are glad you made this decision, but someday they will say it. Tim Challies in his blog said it this way, and said it well, God's commandments are perfectly clear in what they say, and broadly in what they require. Yet implementing those commandments in practical ways and in the nitty-gritty of life can pose a challenge. It can take thought, prayer, creativity. This is exactly the case with the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and especially so for adult children. Young children honoring their parents through their obedience, but what about adults? How do we honor our parents in ways that are fitting? Well, another way to do that is to talk about what honor is not. It does not mean that you will always like your parents or their opinions. And it does not mean that you will always agree with your parents. And although obedience in young children may be a sign of honor, simple obedience or compliance will be less honorable in adulthood. Adulthood means taking on the responsibilities and the consequences. To abdicate the responsibilities while adults and to abdicate those responsibilities back to the parents, that's not honorable. Excellent examples have to do with the elderly and their ability to drive a car and their ability to manage their own finances. The word respect may be the best word in some cases, what some in politics have called the loyal opposition. It's opposition to opinions or actions, but it's a loyal opposition, a maintaining the relationship and the integrity of the other person, even in disagreement or opposition. It could be called tough love. It can be tough love to take the car keys away from the parent. It can be tough love to decide what a parent can and cannot spend their resources on. Jordan Standridge put it this way, one of my favorite things to do is go to preach at the nursing home in our neighborhood. It's fascinating to talk to the people living there. So many of them have children who won't talk to them. And they go months without talking to anyone younger. It's sad to know that most have children who simply will not talk to them. Now, it's easy for people to have weeks and months go by without talking with their parents, but the Bible calls believers to be different. 1 Timothy 1:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Sometimes providing for your parents goes beyond writing a check, and a visit may be in order. Now, I also remind you that parents of adults or grandparents may have had no way to support themselves at all. The letter of Timothy understood that in the ancient world, to neglect one's parents was to leave them destitute. This is usually not true anymore, not usually in the United States, despite the shrinking middle class. However, statistics now say it's my generation that is least prepared for retirement. So to honor father and mother, especially on this Father's Day, it's worthwhile to consider what it means to honor and how to do it in broad general terms and in specific daily terms. Want to fulfill the commandment knowing that we are flesh and mortal, but that Jesus has made us new creatures through Christ to fulfill the commandment to love one another. As the apostle wrote, walk in love. In the letter to the believers in the churches in and around Ephesus, what we call chapter 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us. But among you there must not be even a hint of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. But rather, thanksgiving. Of all these we have spoken. Happy Father's Day. Amen.